Well, good morning. May the Lord's peace and blessing be on each one here today. Thank you, brother, for that opening there. Singing about those hands that hang down. Maybe by the time I'm done, your hands will feel like they're hanging down, but the Lord wants us to lift them up and keep on going. And also thank you for that exhortation, that warning on bitterness. That thing will destroy us if we let those roots take hold. And I'm not sure where the children's lesson brother is, but I'm a little curious. What are those stickers? Can you tell me?
We asked them.
Go ahead. You're up front.
They're to help with school books in Bolivia. There's families that don't have money. They'd like to do their homeschooling or maybe curriculum to try to help them.
So, all right. Okay. And how did they attain them? Maybe that's classified information.
There's a little box here in the back that the children put money in.
Okay. All right. Praise the Lord. Yeah. Good. Very good. Now, did I see a brother over here have a mic? I don't want it right now. Just get ready. I might ask you to pray. Is that all right? A little later on? Are you okay with that? I'm going to write my title on the board here. See if I can find something to write with. Guess these are all. I guess blue's all right. Now I don't even know how to write this anymore. Somehow. I don't know, is that spelled correctly? So yeah, parents, lay up for your children. So, could we rise and one of you over in that area anyway, pray? If you want to give it to your dad, that's fine.
Let's pray. Gracious God, as we stand before you this day, Lord, we rejoice in your goodness and your provision. Lord, we thank you for your Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who died. And through faith and trust and believing in the work that he's done, we can have life and peace and joy and victory. Thank you, Father. Lord, this morning, as we stand to pray, your word tells us to forgive if any has aught against us, or we have aught against one, Lord. Mm-hmm. We want to do that. Help us to forgive, Lord, and I just pray against any bitterness that would be in my heart or any of our hearts, mm-hmm. Lord. Help us to forgive and to love. Lord, thank you for Brother Allen here today. I just pray that you would bless him and give him a peace and a freedom to share what you've laid on your heart, on his heart, Lord. Just help him to express himself clearly and just give him a peace to share. Mm-hmm. And we pray that you'd bless him and lead and guide and direct his thoughts. Mm-hmm. Thank you for this time that we share here. We ask your blessing on it. In your worthy name we pray. Mm-hmm. Amen.
Amen. Thank you. You may be seated. Let's turn to 2 Corinthians chapter 12 for an opening scripture. So 2 Corinthians 12, and we'll read verses 14 and 15. It's Paul writing here, or at least dictating it. Behold, the third time I am ready to come to you, and I will not be burdensome to you, for I seek not yours, but you. For the children ought not to lay up for the parents, but the parents for the children. And I will very gladly spend and be spent for you, though the more abundantly I love you, the less I be loved. So you can maybe see there where my title comes from, Parents Lay Up for Your Children. I thought of using fathers, lay up for your children, but parents were in this together, and so parents, lay up for your children. Now this passage may have been referring to laying up for physical needs, but I think Paul had more than that in mind also. So if you'll notice what it says there in verse 15, spend and be spent. And what does it say there? I will very gladly spend and be spent for you. I don't think that's just talking about money, but time that he spent. And he says, the more I love you, the less I be loved. Sometimes when somebody speaks hard things, the people don't like them so well for that. So today we'd like to focus on laying up for our children for their spiritual needs. And do you have something that's very important to you, something very close to your heart, something you want to impart to your children, something that you want them to get? Let's turn a few pages back to the book of 1 Thessalonians. First Thessalonians chapter 2. We'll start in verse 1 and we might go down to verse 12. First Thessalonians 2, verse 1. For yourselves, brethren, know our entrance in unto you that it was not in vain. But even after that we had suffered before and were shamefully entreated, as ye know, at Philippi, we were bold in our God to speak unto you the gospel of God with much contention. For our exhortation was not of deceit, nor uncleanness, nor in guile. But as we were allowed of God to be put in trust with the gospel, even so we speak, not as pleasing men, but God, which trieth our hearts. For neither at any time we use we flattering words, as ye know, nor a cloak of covetousness, God is witness. Nor of men sought we glory, neither of you, nor yet of others. But when we might have been burdensome as apostles of Christ, when I didn't quite read that right, but anyway, we'll go on. But we were gentle among you, even as a nurse cherisheth her children. So being affectionately desirous of you, we were willing to have imparted unto you not the gospel of God only, but also our own souls, because ye were dear unto us. For ye remember, brethren, our labor and travail. For laboring night and day, because we would not be chargeable unto any of you, we preached unto you the gospel of God. Ye are witnesses, and God also, how holily and justly and unblameably we behaved ourselves among you that believe. And as ye know how we exhorted and comforted and charged every one of you, as a father does his children, that ye would walk worthy of God, who hath called you unto his kingdom and glory. So here again is Paul speaking again, as a desire to give those people at Thessalonica something, the gospel of God. As he did that, he gave of himself. He says, gave our own souls, and he reminds them of their laboring night and day to preach the gospel of God to them. So the brother this morning had us in Hebrews about a cloud of witnesses. I was thinking about David. I also look at King David. King David loved the Lord, and David wanted to do something for him. And when David saw that the ark of God was in a tent, while he himself lived in a house of cedar, we can read about that in 2 Samuel 7, David wanted to build a nice house for God, a place of splendor and glory that would be more fitting for such a great God than having it, the ark in a tent, as it was all the time up to then. And Nathan the prophet told him to do all that was in his heart. God is with him. But then that night, the Lord told Nathan that David shouldn't do it, but that his son would build it. And it was Solomon who built the temple then after David had died. So did David just lay the matter down and forget about building a house for God because God didn't let him do it? I think we all know the answer to that. He didn't. Do you remember what David did before he died? He gathered building materials, gold and silver and brass, and wood and stone, and he gave Solomon the blueprints, the pattern for the temple. He did everything that he could to facilitate the building of this great house for his great beloved God. Let's turn to 1 Chronicles 28 and read some of that. So 1 Chronicles 28, we'll read verses 2 and 3, and then maybe some others also. 1 Chronicles 28. Then David the king stood up upon his feet and said, "Hear me, my brethren and my people." He had gathered all his important people together here, the princes, the captains, and all those, and he's talking to them. "As for me, I had in mine heart to build an house of rest for the ark of the covenant of the Lord and for the footstool of our God, and had made ready for the building. But God said unto me, Thou shalt not build an house for my name, because thou hast been a man of war and hast shed blood." And then we'll jump over to verse 11 and start reading there. "Then David gave to Solomon his son the pattern of the porch and of the houses thereof and of the treasures thereof and of the upper chambers thereof and of the inner parlors thereof and of the place of the mercy seat and the pattern of all that he had by the Spirit of the courts of the house of the Lord and of all the chambers round about of the treasures of the house of God and the treasures of the dedicated things. Also for the courses of the priests and the Levites, and for all the work of the service of the house of the Lord, and for all the vessels of the service in the house of the Lord." So he gave Solomon the blueprint there, how to do all this. And verse 14, "He gave of gold by weight for things of gold, and for all instruments of all manner of service, silver also for instruments of silver by weight, and for all instruments of every kind of service, even the weight for the candlesticks of gold, and for their lamps of gold by weight for every candlestick, and for the lamps thereof, and for the candlesticks of silver by weight, both for the candlestick and also for the lamps thereof, according to the use of every candlestick. And by weight he gave gold for the tables of showbread, for every table, and likewise silver for the tables of silver. Also pure gold for the flesh hooks and the bowls and the cups, and for the golden basin he gave gold by weight for every basin, and likewise silver by weight for every basin of silver. And for the altar of incense, refined gold by weight and gold for the pattern of the chariot of the cherubims that spread out their wings and covered the ark of the covenant of the Lord. All this, said David, the Lord made me understand in writing by his hand upon me, even all the works of this pattern. And David said to Solomon his son, be strong and of good courage and do it. Fear not, nor be dismayed, for the Lord God, even my God, will be with thee. He will not fail thee nor forsake thee until thou hast finished all the work for the service of the house of the Lord. So I would like to challenge us to be inspired by this account about David to rise up and to lay up for our children all sorts of good building materials to equip them. First, for their own walk with the Lord, and also to equip them to help the kingdom of God to move forward on this earth, to help it to be great. So I'm not talking about laying up material things like money and possessions, but laying up good character-building traits in their lives, teaching and training them. So maybe we could start with the goal of obedience. This is a very necessary building block to help our children be faithful workers in the kingdom of God later in their life. And ideally, this should be implemented early in their life. That is when it can best be learned. And if taught early, it seems to stick better. Marianne's mom says that she needed a lot of correction at a very young age. But then after that, very little. I guess she got it and it stuck with her. Now she still doesn't need any correction. Think about it. How's a child going to obey their Heavenly Father when they're grown up if they never really learned to obey their parents? We know these things, but it's just, let's think about them again. Forgive them that building block of obedience. It will be paramount to their success in moving mountains in the kingdom of God when they are growing up. And I'll let you in on a little secret. In the meantime, it will make your life so much easier too. It seems that David had figured out what each gold and silver thing would weigh, and he gave gold and silver by weight in verse 14 there. But he also seems to have had varying degrees of purity of gold. If you look there in verse 17, it talks about pure gold. In verse 18, there's some refined gold. I'm not sure what the difference is there. And verse 16 was just called it gold. So David weighed out and supplied the right quantity and quality of gold so each vessel, each thing could properly made to glorify God. David used some foresight in laying up for the temple. There was nothing haphazard about his preparations. So we also need to put some thought into laying up for our children. Autopilot won't work for this one. So that pure gold there in verse 17, we must give our children the pure gold of a love for God, a proper reverence and fear of God. And this is best done by them seeing it lived out by us. If we don't live it out, it's going to be very hard, or maybe not impossible, but a lot harder to give them that, help them get that love for God. Now, we can and should teach them like Deuteronomy 6 says. Maybe we could turn there and read some of that. Deuteronomy 6, starting in verse 4 there. Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord. And thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart, and with all thy soul, and with all thy might. And these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart. I think this was God talking to them there, talking to us. And verse 7, and thou shalt teach them diligently unto thy children, not haphazardly, but diligently, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, and when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. In short, at all times. And thou shalt bind them for a sign upon thine hand, and they shall be as frontlets between thine eyes. And thou shalt write them upon the posts of thy house and on thy gates. Have our children surrounded with that teaching. A lot of us have Bible verses and things on our walls. That's good. So that teaching is crucial. We need to do that. But did you see what it started with? If you look at verse 5 there, what does that say? It says, and thou, that's talking to us parents, and thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thine heart and with all thy soul and with all thy might. And then he says, and these words, what we're supposed to be teaching our children, which I command thee this day, shall be where? It shall be in thine heart, in our hearts. It must be in us. So if we don't have these things down in our own life, our teaching is going to ring pretty hollow and probably won't be very effective in our children's lives. So in verse 18 there, I'm not there anymore, but David also had some refined gold for the altar of incense. I'm not sure what refined gold is, if it's more pure than pure gold, but it was something a little different. So let's weigh out or lay up in our children's lives some refined gold of a love and appreciation for the people of God, the church. There's so many people out there who profess to have this me and Jesus thing going on. And they have no room for the church or the people of God. They claim it's full of hypocrites, or I don't know what all the excuses are, but I'm sorry, but that is usually nothing more than a selfish way of getting my way. And there's not much of Jesus involved in that equation, regardless of all the good talk. It can also be a selfish way to keep other people in the church from speaking into my life and helping me to see things about myself that I'm too blind or too conceited to see, so that those things could be corrected. And I didn't say this up front, but I don't know, or I don't do anyway, have 3 points to... I just sort of ramble on through, so try to follow me as I do that. So you will do your children a great big golden favor by teaching them to love and respect the brothers and sisters in the church. This is very important. If we talk about brothers and sisters in a negative way, for sure in front of our children, that undermines that. We should teach them to love and respect the brothers and sisters in the church. Teach them to ask for input in their lives, opening themselves up to the brethren for any correction that is needed in their lives. And of course, if you're not showing them how to do it by your example, they probably will not get it. I'm sorry, but that's just how it works. More is caught than taught. So King David also had some silver laid up for Solomon to use in the building of his temple. It was carefully weighed out. Let's do that for our children. Let's lay up for them the sterling silver of a pattern or habit of diligence, of being responsible, of faithfulness, even in small things. Luke 16:10 tells us, "He that is faithful in that which is least is faithful also in much, and he that is unjust in the least is unjust also in much." So as they learn to be faithful in little things, it will help them to be faithful in much. And our children will need our help to establish them in this. We know that. It's not something that comes automatically. But with a here a little and a there a little and some perseverance, by the time they're ready to go out on their own, they have a pattern established, a habit established that will stand them in good stead for the rest of their lives and will help them to do battle to Satan's kingdom. And yes, they will need our help to help them establish those silver patterns in their lives. And at the risk of sounding like a broken record, the better we live this out in front of them, the easier it will be for them to adopt them, these patterns, for their own. Let's look across the page to 1 Chronicles 29. So 1 Chronicles 29 and verse 2. David speaking here. "Now I have prepared with all my might for the house of my God the gold for things to be made of gold, and the silver for things of silver, and the brass for things of brass, the iron for things of iron, and wood for things of wood, onyx stones and stones to be set, glistering stones and of diverse colors, and all manner of precious stones and marble stones in abundance. Moreover, because I have set my affection to the house of my God, I have of mine own proper good of gold and silver, which I have given to the house of my God over and above all that I have prepared for the holy house. Even 3,000 talents of gold and the gold of Ophir, and 7,000 talents of refined silver to overlay the walls of the houses withal. The gold for things of gold, and silver for things of silver, and for all manner of work to be made by the hands of the artificers. And who then is willing to consecrate his service this day unto the Lord?" David challenging his people and asking if any of them are willing as well. And look at their response there in verse 6. "Then the chief of the fathers and princes of the tribes of Israel and the captains of thousands and of hundreds with the rulers of the king's work offered willingly, and gave for the service of the house of God of gold 5,000 talents and 10,000 drams, and of silver 10,000 talents, and of brass 18,000 talents, and 100,000 talents of iron," and then some precious stones and other things. So David gathered there in abundance. He had plenty of that. It doesn't say that he weighed all this out, but of brass and iron and wood and stones and etc. It was a work of love. As it says there in verse 3, because he had set his affection there. So this laying up for our children is also a work of love. Love for them and a love for the God we want them to glorify with their lives. So these other materials, like the brass, iron, wood, and stones, etc., that David laid up, could be likened to many other character traits that we can help our children lay up in their lives. Things like being compassionate, having a care for others, being willing to be inconvenienced to help someone else. I think you brothers here are a golden example in that. To have a respect and honor for elderly people, to be helpful to them, opening the door, finding a seat for them, and so on. Instill in them an implicit trust in God. Help them to be able to bring any and all their problems to Him. Also help them to have a desire to please God. I think the children were raising their hands over here this morning that they wanted to please God. Keep cultivating that. Help them to know that God is good all the time and to have an attitude of gratitude and to be thankful to Him and to bless His name. Help them to see God in the beauty of nature that's all around us. Help them to see His greatness in a thunderstorm or things like that. They should also know how to work and to work hard. But help them to realize that work is not our master and some things are more important than work. So there could be many more things we could mention. Maybe you're thinking of all the important ones that I missed. But as they come to your mind, lay them up for your children. Impart them to your children. Let's turn to Romans chapter 1. Romans chapter 1, just going to read one verse here, verse 11. Paul speaking again here. For I long to see you, that I may impart unto you some spiritual gift to the end ye may be established. Paul had a desire to impart his spiritual gift, and it was so that these people at Rome might be established in the faith. So King David could not build the temple because of some things from earlier in his life. We saw that as we read that. But that did not keep him from laying up supplies so that his son could build it. Some of us also have some baggage in our lives. We just can't seem to shake things that were ingrained in us from little on up. Not talking about sin necessarily, but just some. The Bible says, teach a child in the way he shall go, and when he's old, he will not depart from it. Some things are hard to get rid of. Things that were ingrained in us from little on up, things that might hinder us from building the temple. Something kept David from building it, actually. But can we, like King David, lay up things to help our children to go further and to reach out in ways we haven't been able to? Some of you younger ones maybe can't relate to this, but some of you older ones might know what I'm talking about. Don't get me wrong. We were taught a lot of good things for which I'm thankful. Some necessary things. And sometimes I wonder if some of those necessary things, that those good things that we were taught, might need some reviving in our children and grandchildren's lives. But there are also some lacks. We're lax in communication. We didn't communicate very well. There were lacks in helping us to know why we do what we do. That's how we do things. We didn't have to think, or at least, I guess I didn't. Maybe it was just me, I don't know. But we just did what we were told. So as our children were growing up, I wanted to teach them to pray. To pray with them, like bedtime prayers and that kind of thing. But I didn't know how. Praying out loud was a very hard thing for me to do. I had never done it. And I was 40 by this time. But by the grace of God, we started in just little by little. Also, little things like We were thinking about communication here. Good night and good morning and thank you and please and sorry and things like that. It took an effort. In my background, we didn't say those things to the to the family. That was reserved for thank you and such things was reserved for being out and about. The family, we didn't communicate things like that. So in our family, my wife and I, we tried to press in on some of those communication issues. And I'm glad to see that our children are much freer in them than we are. Thankful for that. We were the quiet in the land. I don't know if you know what I mean by that, but if somebody asked us a spiritual question, we told them to go and ask the preacher about it. We didn't know how to answer. I remember of going and singing at a nursing home, or maybe it was at somebody's house that was sick or something. I forget which it was. And somebody asked us to pray for them. And we looked at each other, and none of us did. We didn't know how. We didn't pray out loud. I remember I felt very bad about that, not praying if someone had asked us to. So it's just things that, some baggage that I at least needed or need to get rid of. And those of you that know me well know that I can still use a lot of help in opening my mouth when I should. And I need to stop using my upbringing for an excuse there. So we must keep on pressing in on the areas we are weak in, but also let's continue laying up store for our children. Let's turn over to Psalm 127. Psalm 127, verse 1. Except the Lord build the house, they labor in vain that build it. Except the Lord keep the city, the watchman waketh, but in vain. It is vain for you to rise up early, to sit up late, to eat the bread of sorrows, for so he giveth his beloved sleep. Lo, children are an heritage of the Lord, and the fruit of the womb is his reward. As arrows are in the hand of a mighty man, so are children of the youth. Happy is the man that hath his quiver full of them. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. So this Psalm 127 gives us a picture of sending out our children. So first off, we must be sure we are building this house with the Lord. All that building material that we are laying up for our children must be grounded in the Word of God. Otherwise, it is all in vain. It doesn't matter how early we start or how late we stay at it. If it's not in the Lord, it's in vain. Our children are a gift from God, a reward. And as that mighty man there in verse 4, can send those arrows a long distance. It isn't restricted to just right hand to hand, but he can send those arrows a long way. So our children, by careful, prayerful shaping, can also go further than us, maybe aided by the things we laid up for them. And then in verse 5, it gives us a picture of victory. It's not defeat. They shall not be ashamed, but they shall speak with the enemies in the gate. There's victory there. And sometimes we are laying up for our children without hardly realizing it. I'd like to look at three generations of that happening. I'll turn to 2 Timothy chapter 1. 2 Timothy chapter 1. And we'll start in verse 1. Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ, by the will of God, according to the promise of life which is in Christ Jesus. To Timothy, my dearly beloved son, grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father and Christ Jesus our Lord. I thank God, whom I serve from my forefathers with pure conscience, that without ceasing I have remembrance of thee in my prayers, night and day. Right there we have a reminder that would be good for us to have, be remembering our sons, our daughters in prayers night and day. And verse 4, greatly desiring to see thee, being mindful of thy tears, that I may be filled with joy. When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith that is in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois, and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that in thee also. Wherefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou stir up the gift of God which is in thee by the putting on of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. So as this grandmother Lois lived out this unfeigned faith, her daughter Eunice saw it and was inspired to do the same. I'm sure there was teaching there, but there was reality there. And as Eunice lived it out, it inspired Timothy to also embrace the faith, in spite of the fact that his dad was probably not a believer, if I am thinking correctly there. He might not say it in so many words, but I don't think he was a Jew. So true faith lived out is powerful. May the Lord help us to do that, to do the same there. Laying up for our children. Have you ever thought about Noah and his wife? They must have done something very right. Their three sons and their wives followed them. But as we think about what was around them, what the circumstances they were in, there appears to have been no other good influence in those young men and young ladies' lives. So all the rest of the people in the world perished in the flood. Just a question, how would our children fare in an environment like that? Mom and dad are the only godly people around them. All their peers are ungodly. Would our walk and our talk be enough to persuade them to live for God? Just a challenging question for me. So the fact of the matter is that we will pass something on to our children, whether we intend it to or not. And it can be for the good, hopefully it is, or it can be for the bad. It all depends on what we are living for. If we say one thing but do another, our children will see right through that. So the Bible calls Lot a righteous man, but maybe he had some divided interests. When he chose that well-watered plain and then pitched his tent toward Sodom, and he eventually ended up inside Sodom. It seemed like those things were maybe a bit too important to him. And his wife and maybe a couple of his married daughters just couldn't quite let go of them. It talks about his sons-in-laws. They thought it was... they didn't come out of the town there, and Lot's wife looked back and stayed right there. I think maybe Lot had imparted some of his values to them without even realizing it. So may it be a sober reminder to us, let's not pitch our tent towards Sodom. Sodom is all around us. But may the Lord help us to keep ourselves free. So may God bless you as you press on, living for God and laying up for your children. And may the Lord give us Those Christian homes that we sang about last night and again this morning, it was a blessing to sing that song. So I think I will close with a slightly modified poem. A lot of you are probably seeing this. It's just slightly changed. It's called The Bridge Builder. An old man going along the highway came at evening cold and gray to a chasm vast, deep and wide, through which was flowing a sullen tide. The old man crossed in the twilight dim. That sullen stream had no fear for him. But he turned when he reached the other side and built a bridge to span the tide. "Old man," said a fellow pilgrim near, "you're wasting your strength in building here. Your journey will end with the ending day. You never again will pass this way. You have crossed the chasm deep and wide. Why build you a bridge at eventide?" The builder lifted his old gray head. "Good friend, in the path I've come," he said. "There followeth after me today my children, whose feet must pass this way. Sorry. This chasm has been naught to me. But to them it may a pitfall be. They too must cross in the twilight dim. Good friend, I am building the bridge for them.